Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. As you know, we try to cover a lot of material. And I will just say this, that you can listen to hours and hours of news, fusion, and entertainment, and you're not really going to get much smarter. Now, there are a few entertainers out there that do have a lot of nice tidbits of history. But what they're not giving you is the integral academic or empirical data that ties in together what we would call the academic solutions to getting our government in the direction it is supposed to be, the way it has been designed. I'm not sure if you've ever played around with anything, whether that be, you know, an amplifier, an engine or something, or even a clock, reversing polarity on a clock and watching it go backwards. Well, you know, then you'd have to remember what your starting point is to understand where you are going to be out of sync and how far you have to be. In other words, the amount of time and energy you would have to use in having a clock running backwards to tell the accurate time with the rest of the world. It's just not worth it. It's the same thing with engines. It's the same thing with amplification or vacuums or what have you. The fact of the matter is, things are designed to function a certain way for a very specific reason. Our Constitution was designed to function a very specific way. The intent was that hopefully people would finally get smart. Now, when you let government take control of the education system, then you can guarantee that the outcome of the byproduct of your efforts or the outcome of the education system is going to be very predictable, because the government is going to generate good government, what do you want to call them, slaves, serfs? What's a better name for them? What is a better name for the kids that are being pumped out of the national indoctrination centers today? Automatons? Robots? Anything but critical thinking, productive members of an enlightened and advanced society. We have a bunch of, some people call them snowflakes. There's all sorts of words and names for what we're getting out of our system, but it was not designed to do that. It was never designed for the education system to be controlled by the national government. And as Milton Friedman said, if you would let the United States government take control of the Sahara Desert, within 5 years, they would be, you know, they would have a shortage of sand. I want you to think about that. It seems like the only thing we really do well as far as a government, as far as within the purview of our government, these United States, this hybrid constitutional republic, the only thing we really do well is we fight wars really well. We have a great defense, and we don't do anything else really well. So, what we're going to be getting into today is, as you understand, we're going to get into our first Thanksgiving, and I want you to understand why this proclamation is so important. And we'll get into the backstory behind all of this, okay? But what we are going to cover in the future, maybe not next up, but after we take care of, because what's up next is the ex post facto and bills of attainder laws. We're going to cover those two things because we want you to understand the types of laws that these two protections that the framers put in, and as you look at the laws that are being passed, one would think that these are kind of like ex post facto laws. They are ex post facto laws and bills of attainder. Anyway, as we get through those two things, then what we'll probably cover is, because I think it's important that I delve into the marketing every once in a while, right? So we're going to dive into some marketing as we lead into the Thanksgiving week. And I'm just going to remind you every day between now and then, or actually once we start getting into the marketing, probably Thursday, Friday, whenever, before we go into the weekend at least, I will start reminding you that I would ask that you please get, download, or at least mark and or have the website so that you will have access to this Thanksgiving proclamation. Take the minute. Let me see here. Is this one page? This is a one-page document. Take the few minutes necessary to read this to your family. I want your family to understand that the first American, the United States' first proclamation for Thanksgiving was all about something that has nothing to do with Thanksgiving today. And if you go to those pageants, and if you go to the parades, and if you go to, you know, I mean, there's all sorts of places that they all celebrate it, and it all has the wrong connotations. That's why we're going to get into this in detail. But what we're also going to get into is the hyphenated American, and we're also going to get into the Bill of Rights. So what we may end up doing is we may end up going through the ratification debates again, and or we may go through a few other documents that maybe, you know, I'll dig through and see if I can find some other really good, important documents, like maybe the the Northwest Ordinance, and go through that, because the Northwest Ordinance was passed by the Continental Congress in October 1787, right after the Constitution was signed and sent out for ratification. So, there's a lot of things that we still need to get through, but we're trying to, you know, pace ourselves so that when we get to December 15th, we will be ready and start going through the Bill of Rights. And we'll give you a lot of good background on the Bill of Rights, what Madison and Sherman, because Roger Sherman and James Madison were probably the two huge dominating figures regarding the debates over this and what ended up, you know, becoming our Bill of Rights, why, how, and so forth. So anyway, we also have a listen line. I haven't mentioned that, at least in the last show or two. That listen line is 605-562-4209. You want to have that line in your cell phone so that if you're traveling or what have you, and it's time for the Reclaiming the Republic show, you can just dial in, listen, and not miss a beat, especially when we're covering these things that are, you know, educational. It's not like they're just one-time things, because we do go over these again. But I'm here to tell you that what we cover is all supporting the concept of a limited and defined government, that the states are the sovereigns, and the states have the authority and all the power necessary to get our Constitution firing the way it is functioned and designed, or to get it to function the way it's designed. Anyway, so we also have Red State Coffee. We would beg and plead that you would look into getting Red State Coffee so that when you listen to your Red State Talk Radio, if you're a coffee drinker, you can enjoy your favorite beverage. We also ask that you consider, as you taste that and go, oh my goodness, this is some good coffee, we'd ask that you consider buying some and giving it to your friends. As a matter of fact, what you may want to do is you may want to, you know, if you got liberal friends, buy Red State Coffee, put a blue label over it, and then send it off to your friends, and maybe they'll figure out, hey, this is Red State Coffee. I'm not drinking this after they've already drank it. Anyway, but the whole point is that it's a great way to help support the show, because the money that comes in from the Patriot Coffee or the organization that makes this stuff, that is money that is going into helping cover our travel costs or what have you. And what we're going to do is, because I haven't actually moved any funds over lately, but when I do move funds over, I will go to our GoFundMe account, our social, our crowdfunding, and I will reduce how much money we need, because I don't want to be asking for money that I've already been paid for covering something. We don't want to, you know, duplicate charge or, you know, cover things twice, what have you. We want to be forthright and as ethical and transparent as possible. One other thing. We need your help. America needs your help. We need you to get involved. If you have a computer, you've got a phone, you have computer literacy, you've got resources, whatever, you can get involved. More importantly, if you want to get involved, you don't have to run for office. But if you want to get involved, contact us, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. We need as much help as we can get. The cause is growing, but it's not growing fast enough. That's why we beg and plead to get people to, you know, expand our listening audience. So if you know somebody that likes conservative talk or wants to understand the Constitution, tell them, hey, you got to listen to this. This guy goes through it. He actually reads the Constitution and we talk about it. Anyway, we will be right back after these two promos. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to give you the backstory on this proclamation. As you know, now, let me back up. I'm working, and I've been working, and I've said this a few times. I have, it's like about 20, 30 pages article regarding the origins of America, the origins of these United States. Most people do not understand that America, because, oh, well, Adams, John Adams was telling the Ottoman Empire ruler that we weren't a Christian nation. Well, what Adams meant by saying we weren't a Christian nation means that we weren't a theological nation. We were 100% Christian. And as a matter of fact, I shouldn't say 100% because there were Jews here. Jews were not allowed to openly practice. In other words, the government recognized tolerance towards Christianity, but they weren't very tolerant towards Judaism, and they definitely banned Hindu, Buddhist. They banned all the other forms of religion. You weren't welcome here in America if you were Muslim or any of these other religions. And there was a reason for that, because they understood that those other religions were, as Joseph Story said in his memoirs, he called those infidels. And as a matter of fact, I can get into all the different details regarding how we were Christian. But one of the things most everybody will concede, and because a lot of people may argue this or that, most everybody will concede, if you've done the research, that all of the framers attested that the divine hand of providence was the source of their insights. The divine hand of providence truly blessed them with insights and guidance, you know, pushing along in so many different ways. George Washington, throughout the Revolutionary War, throughout his life, as a matter of fact, Washington didn't necessarily have an easy time in the very beginning. I mean, he had his stumbles. He never made general. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons why he kind of liked going into the Revolutionary War was to kind of prove his capabilities, because Britain failed to make him a general. And so Washington wasn't necessarily, you know, the guy that didn't have any faults. He had some faults, but he will attest to the fact that it was the divine hand of providence that saved him and his men's skin time and time again throughout the Revolution, and as they were molding and working this nation into what we now know as our Constitutional Republic. So, as Washington became the first president, and as the very first session of Congress began in 1789, what ended up happening was all sorts of things had to be addressed. Now, one of the things that Madison was doing in, I think it was May 4th, was when Madison basically told Congress, or actually the House of Representatives, that he will be working on a Bill of Rights, or a listing of Bill of Rights that he would be submitting to the body of the whole. So there were all these different things that were moving, things that just had to get done. But you also have to understand, again, that the people that were in government at the time were the cream of the crop. These people, maybe they were, you know, legacy, you know, lawyers, legacy politicians from the colonies and so forth. But these people were those who were trusted by the common folk. And the common folk were pretty particular about what religion and all sorts of things. As a matter of fact, there's plenty of evidence that actually proves that there were a lot of animosities towards, you know, very particular religions. That's one of the reasons why it amazed me how Madison had wrote his remonstrance on religion and religious expression, because he was Anglican, not Baptist, but his heart went out to the Baptists who were suffering in Virginia because they couldn't get licensed to minister, and they were out proselyting and trying to proclaim the Baptist ministry to the people. And he saw them getting arrested, and he goes, this is just wrong. So it takes a real person of integrity and character to see people being treated wrongly and somebody to stand up. And I'm just telling you that Madison wasn't an outlier. Sherman and the rest of these men, and as a matter of fact, a lot of these men were either clergies themselves, reverends, and so forth. And as you read through the ratification debates, a lot of these men had titles. Instead of it was Mr., it was Reverend. There was a unanimity of Christianity within the halls of Congress. Here's an interesting thing. The very first Christmas in 1789, December 25th, it wasn't Christmas. They didn't recognize Christmas then. And that's why we're going to do a very good special on Christmas so you understand how Christmas evolved via manipulation for lots of different reasons. And we're going to give you those reasons when we get closer to Christmas. But more importantly, here the framers were coming together. They were starting to forge this new government, a government that was unlike any other government, where there were actually three branches and there were these separations and protections and so forth. One of the things that you may not know is that when Washington wrote a thank you letter to Congress for whatever, a lot of those letters in the very first year or so were written by James Madison. Madison would write, you know, Washington's acceptance, and then Madison would then write Congress's response. And he was the busiest guy in Washington, D.C., or I should say at the seat of government, because Washington, D.C. didn't exist. I believe they were in New York at the time. And so as you look at what was going on, these men were very, very busy. They were, you know, you're showing up to town and even your office spaces have never been used before, if you know what I mean. So there was just a lot on their mind. There was a lot on their plate to take care of. And if you understand, things didn't happen quickly. I mean, they didn't start. I believe the first session didn't really commence until they had quorum. And I don't believe that was until May. It was supposed to start, I think, in April or March. So it took about a month, month and a half before the first session officially began, because then they had quorum. And so there were all sorts of little things that they had to take care of. But one of the things that Congress did was Congress unanimously, from the House and from the Senate, unanimously sought the president to make a proclamation of thanksgiving. And so that proclamation went over to George Washington. And so he had to have received that probably sometime. And I don't know, because I don't have the document in front of me and I'm just guessing. But he had to have received that probably in September at the latest, and at the earliest, maybe in August. And I say that because he signed the proclamation that he made on October 3rd. Proclaiming that the fourth Thursday be, which was the 26th of November that year, that the fourth Thursday be set aside as a Thanksgiving. And so he comes right out and says, you know, that, hey, I'm doing this because Congress has asked me to do this. And then he goes and he basically, from his heart, identifies what we as a nation need to give thanks for. Now, I want you to understand something, that as the framers, because I just had this conversation with a friend, that as a well-to-do friend, if I said the name, you'd know him. Anyway, as the framers were just coming into this framing of this country, because this friend asked me, you know, let's just take 100 people, like let's pretend the Constitution doesn't exist today, and we would go to a desert island, and how would we create a government? And I go, we would never be able to create the same kind of government that was created today. And that's because we do not have quorum in thought, mind, and understanding. And what I mean by that, because this is one of my premise, reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. the interesting and unique thing about the framers' time was they were all equally informed because they didn't have a luxury of excessive books and information overload like we have today, where everybody puts their opinions in books and so forth. What they had was they all had these standard works of Locke, Bacon, Montesquieu, Cicero, and so forth. And so all of these books, everybody read. So when they all came together, they all understood almost the same conclusion. Yeah, we have to have a republican form of government. And everything just kind of fell in place. And again, it goes in line with reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. And even at that point in time, with all of the equal information, they disagreed a lot. It took 60 votes just to hammer out the process of selecting or choosing the president and vice president of the United States during the Constitutional Convention, 60 times. So anyway, we'll be right back and we'll get into the proclamation as soon as we get back. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so Washington starts off his address or his proclamation thusly. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence in this, and in those days, they used providence to identify the creator. But in this case, it was lowercase p, acknowledge the providence or the wisdom of Almighty God. So a lot of times, Washington and many of the framers would refer to the Almighty God as the divine hand of providence. But right here, they come right out and say, Almighty God. Okay? So just so you understand, there was no mincing, there was no, you know, politically correct, secularist type of, you know, approach here. They were coming right out and identifying their Almighty God. To obey His, capital H, His will. To be grateful for, capital H, His benefits. And humbly to implore His protection and favor. And so you can tell that they weren't, constrained and tied down by political correctness, his or her. Anyway, And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me, quote, to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging the grateful hearts, the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness, close quote. So what he just read there in that 3.5 lines was a quote from Congress, that Congress provided him their sentiments. And I'm going to read that again. To recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Okay, so they just set the stage for President Washington to do a proclamation. Now, I don't know the background on this proclamation, but because James Madison did write a lot of his speeches and so forth, there is a good likelihood that this may have been, you know, wordsmithed by James Madison and then handed to Washington, and Washington put some of his own spin, flavor, what have you on it. So now, therefore, so this is Washington. Now, therefore, or Madison. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to what? I'm going to throw it out there. What do you think he's going to devote and have assigned to these people of these states? What, to go feast, to be merry, to enjoy libations? What? What do you do today in commemorating Thanksgiving and the creation of, you know, Western civilization, colonists, colonization, you know, all these evil things that, you know, the divisionists are trying to ram down our throats to make us feel guilty for Columbus Day and so forth. Okay, so what is it that you do that they are recommending? And it says, next to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious capital B being. Not sure how many of you take the time and provide service to him, capital H. But that is what Washington and as well as Congress had basically sought for the people, to, in a form and spirit of humility, to offer service. So somewhere in here, there's going to be a feast and libations and a good party, right? So let's move on. And glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him, capital H, our sincere and humble thanks for his, capital H, kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence in the course and conclusion of the late war. Now, I haven't even finished the sentence. I think this whole paragraph might be the one sentence. That's a semicolon I'm stopping at. So he's already identifying that we need to offer and render unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind and care protection of the people of the country previous to their becoming a nation. In other words, all of the things that they went through, he's preserved them, and he's allowed them to basically continue struggling and thriving to try to get onto their feet and establish a nation that won't break asunder by, you know, the grand emperor or the empire of the world, such as Britain, Spain, or whoever the next empire will be. And so as we move forward, let me see, we left off here. For the great degree of tranquility, now this is critical here. You have to understand the amount of tranquility that they were enjoying. It was the nature of their time, because it took months to travel from England or Europe to get to them. So it was so hard to project with the amount of reinforcements, food, and all of those types of things to be able to sustain an army to come in and try to knock out the multiple millions of people that are now occupying the United States. And so they were the recipients of the opportunities that only everything to me, my friends, points to the fact that this land was preserved, that this land was preserved for the establishment of a land of liberty. Now, even though it was already being occupied by the indigenous people, I cannot believe, and I refuse to believe, that there were people in Europe, specifically in the United Kingdom, that woke up and said, hey, I want to get on a ship and I want to go lie, steal, and cheat and kill Indians or indigenous people, whatever. I don't believe that for a minute, nor do I believe that the indigenous people here felt like, oh, well, we're going to just become victims. Now, there were a lot of shenanigans, but in the very beginning, there was this attempt, and there were some great attempts of harmony with the Cherokee Nation and the South and so forth. The Cherokee Nation got on board with capitalism and this new American system. They were the first to publish an actual newspaper in the South before anybody else in their area. So I'm telling you that there was a lot of symbiosis going on. But what ended up happening was when the poor, you know, lazy inhabitants of the area saw that they were being outperformed and outproduced by the Indians, they allowed racism and division, just like what's going on today. People are allowing division and racism to divide us instead of uniting. And somebody like Andrew Jackson came along and killed senselessly and unjustly and unconstitutionally killed Indians because they were too successful in the South. So anyway, I'm sorry for digressing. As a matter of fact, I don't have a lot of time, so let me keep going. For the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness. That's a little C, constitutions. And happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general, for all the great and various favors which he, capital H, has been pleased to confer upon us. Now, I've only got seconds before we have to go into break, so I'm just going to stop reading for right there. But I am telling you, my friends, that what Congress and Washington are clearly identifying is that we should be humbly grateful for all of the blessings that we received in the installation and the establishment of the Constitution. I mean, they're very clear in saying that he established the constitutions, specifically the national one lately instituted. Anyway, with that, We're going to be going into a hard break, so we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Now, I'm making this an entire show, all four segments with a little editorializing and so forth. There is no reason why you can't probably stand up and or sit down with your family and read this within probably 7-10 minutes at the most. If you want to point out the important things like the capitals, capital he, capital H for him and so forth, capital H, capital he, capital H on he and him. Anyway, but what's critical is that people begin to understand what the American Thanksgiving was all about. It was about the Constitution that we were blessed with, as he just stated. The national one now lately instituted for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge and in general for all the great and various favors which he has been pleased to confer upon us. And also, so this is basically the last paragraph right here. And also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, to Christ, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness to us, and to bless them with good governments, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best. Given under my hand at the city of New York, the 3rd day of October, George Washington, President of the United States. And so, what do you think our Thanksgiving is supposed to be? Actually, if you compare and contrast what he just said, what we should be doing, where does that have anything to do with feasting and commemorating pilgrims and Indians? It is to recognize, one, the wisdom and the blessings and benefits of us having this Constitution that protects us and affords us and guarantees us our liberties of, what did he say here? For religious and civil liberties. I mean, if you understand the essence of the intent of our Constitution and what we have, well, my friends, on Thursday next, well, yeah, not this coming Thursday, so Thursday next, which would be Thanksgiving, George Washington and the framers thought it best that the nation took a day and provided service to him and humbly, and sincerely thanked him. But in addition, he also said and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions and to offer prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations. We should be coming together and uniting on Thanksgiving in a spiritual holiday in recognizing his benefits, his blessings in granting us. Now, see, this would fly in the face of the secularist. If you understand how, you know, atheist and godlessness has taken over this nation, there's a reason why they don't want you to know this. There's a big reason why they do not want you to start actually spouting this stuff off out in public. Because all of a sudden, it takes away their narrative. It actually promotes the concept that this was a good and godly nation. That we actually had a humility, a prayer, and an eye single towards doing good. Not, you know, serving ourselves, making ourselves feel better, enabling behavior and actions that are, you know, destructive. If you can understand enlightenment and how enlightenment is constantly working, it's almost like engineering and process improvement. And it's amazing that engineering and process improvement functions today in such a godless world, because the concepts of engineering is a constant churning and evolution of enlightenment. Where engineering is just moving along and improving and improving and improving while society is getting worse and worse and worse. Oh, don't worry, they're going to design an app for that that'll fix that. And there's no app for fixing degeneration, debauchery, immorality, or moral turpitude. There is no app for that. But what there is an opportunity that you and your family can take a moment to actually understand what our first Thanksgiving, to set the tone for future Thanksgivings, was to be. How we got away from it, and all the manipulation involved in the way we actually recognize Thanksgiving was something designed to actually put us in a position to actually be a destructive mode in as we see it today. Because as we see those dividers and conquerors, right? United we stand, divided we fall. as we see those dividers and conquerors who are out to conquer us. They have got us believing in, you know, all of these wrong things about Thanksgiving. Now, there's lots of people that take the time to tell you about socialism, that how Thanksgiving was the failure of socialism, and how the paradigm shift in the colonies from going from, you know, a collectivist mentality to everybody got to keep their own, where they could actually survive. Yeah, there's truth to that. But that wasn't something that we wanted to linger on. And that was definitely not what the framers thought necessary to linger on. There's no doubt in my mind, the divine hand of providence was guiding the framers to give us everything necessary to set the stage, to actually, you know, create the examples necessary so that we could actually look back and recognize how wrong things are. So the question I ask is, do you not recognize how wrong things are today? How we have, in the face of the truth, denied our heritage because we've been told so. All you've got to do, and I've always said this, had these who were manipulating our history and revising and rewriting the narrative and moving us towards collectivism and this global communist agenda, had they at that point in time in the 1800s, mid, early 1800s, started taking these documents out and burning them, do you think the people would have been tipped off at that point? Hey, they're trying to destroy our history. But instead, what they did was they ignored those things, just like the ratification debates. The ratification debates are our nation's greatest treasure because it is where the Constitution is discussed. And the fact that they are obscured still to this day is a testament that they are winning in the narrative. You need to break free. You need to start letting people know that we actually still have and possess the documents necessary to prove that we have a contract, a compact that is written for and by the states in giving the states the final authority over all things constitutional, that the federal government is to be held to the enumerated powers that we didn't need. And today, now that we've passed the Civil War, we shouldn't need the Bill of Rights anymore. We should be able to go back to an enumerated constitution to say, all governments, now you have been delegated these powers and these powers alone. We have the ability, my friends, as we start turning our heads towards things like this proclamation, things moving in and using this for your Thanksgiving, we have the opportunity to awaken and restore our constitutional republic before it's too late. That's why I'm a big part and a big champion, and I thank you and I thank everybody for the opportunity of being able to champion for not just you, but for our posterity, that we restore our Constitution and all things that our framers gave us. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review, so please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty.